magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Your peace is wonderful.
I worship you.
Thank you for this.
Praise you, Jesus. I glorify you.
Thank you for your rest, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
How worthy.
Jesus.
How worthy, Jesus.
Yes,
your glory.
Lord Jesus.
Wonderful Counselor, Lord Prince of Peace.
Jesus.
We magnify your strength, Jesus.
We love you.
Oh, we thank you. The one that you've sent in your place, the Comforter. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you
so much for his ministry.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, my class, amen.
Thank you, my Lord.
Blessed be the Lamb.
Thank you for your presence.
Thank you, Father.
My Lord, Jesus.
Just a little bit more.
Sweet Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Sweet Jesus.
Exalt you, Jesus. Praise and magnify you.
Thank you, Jesus.
All the glory, all the praise and honor. Bless you,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Melin Dio flestie nicolo. Bella clessi manche. If you understood the practice of presence and what it means to your life, then with all the greater anticipation, you would eagerly participate. But know this, that it is my utmost desire to bring you in and to possess all the kingdoms of your life. But on your part, much of your life, and to many of you, your life depends on the days ahead, whether or not you're able to hear my voice, to stay when I say stay, and to proceed when I say proceed. For the church that knows my voice and anticipates my presence will enter in to this last outpouring, and many will be a part of the great supper that is to be fed to the nations. But all those who desire now, in these days, prior to that outpouring, must anticipate and practice presence with great sincerity, that I may come and do my final work in them in preparation for that day, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
You
may be seated, I think. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I think there was some that needed prayer, and we'll do that in a little bit. We'll pray over some cloths that somebody... Did you hear any more about... Is his name Tom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not
today. Yeah.
He was close to 2 inches below birth.
Today was the day. Okay. We're going to pray for that a little bit. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your presence. So what was he saying? Can you remember? Practice presence. Our life depended on it. And entering into him, right? And whether or not we were going to be in the thick of things. Hallelujah. I want to be right in the middle of it. Hallelujah. See, you can't hardly imagine sitting here. You just think you're natural. I'm not saying you, because I believe that those of you that are moving in, you have that anticipation. But be like things... supposedly, like they always have been. And then you just show up and a presence is here. Or that first modern marvel of a leg growing out. Or blind eyes being opened. Hallelujah. All we're doing right now is swelling the heavens. They're getting fat on our prayers. And please be praying for your pastor. I'd appreciate it. Because if you can push me through with your prayers, I promise I'll turn around, take a hand, do whatever I can to pull. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I know what he's saying now. So he said, practice presence, and really, that's one of the greatest things you possibly can do. It's because it'll make you very acute to the mind of Christ. Ephesians 6. We've been studying Ephesians a lot lately. I mean, teaching. Right now he's prophesying, but teaching. We've been going line on line. Pulpit, open Bible, verse by verse. But when he said in the last chapter, chapter 6, that the weapons of your warfare, that finally to put on the armament, one of the things that he said was part of the armament. One was the above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we have broke that down last year and into this year. But then he said, and our feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now that wasn't per se the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is in essence the totality of things, but he's talking there about you as an individual, as a soldier. And the battle ray of the soldier was what their feet was shod with. For you as an individual, for you to make it and succeed in war, because the first part of Ephesians, the first four or so chapters, is all about you getting ready for battle, which is the dying of your flesh. See, you can't hardly... I love the way Paul puts Ephesians together, because he equivocates too. He brings them in right hand and left hand. He brings them in so they're working great. By the end of it, he's telling you how to slap the devil. But in the first part of it, he's telling you how you can. Because nobody's perfect, but he's telling you how that you can give yourself over to the work of the Holy Spirit. Because by the time you meet the devil in Ephesians 6, you can't stand there and tell him, get out of my life. I don't like you. You're beating me up, and I don't like you, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus when you're doing things in darkness over here. Because all he's doing is... when you try to rebuke him out of a stronghold he put you in, he just puts a big arm around you, and he's smoking a big stogie and drinking cheap Russian demon vodka. And he's sitting there and you're rebuking him. I said, get out of my house and get out of my life. And he's saying, we're boys. We hang out together, and you know what you're doing over there on Friday and Saturday, you know, and how are you going to rebuke me? You can't rebuke him out of a stronghold that he's got you in. And Paul spends those four chapters telling you how that you can get in a place where when you stand up, square your shoulders back, you're still a human being, you're still fighting to go forward in Christ, but you've laid those things down at a place where you're saying, okay, God, I'm choosing you more than my life. And so then when you avail yourself to Him, then you're standing there saying, okay, I may not be perfect, but I'm choosing to walk out of those things. Now I said, devil, in Jesus' name. And he has to go. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? When he said, when you put on those... shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He wasn't talking about you knocking on the door, passing out a tract. And I had to talk to you about the gospel of Christ. Well, the gospel of Christ has peace in it. That's right. But the preparation of the gospel of peace was, he is saying that your feet, in essence, is what leads you into everything. It's where you're going. It's where you're going in life. It's the decisions that you're making. It's mundane decisions versus lifelong decisions. It's everything. So it's everything in front of you. And he said, here's the way that you're best equipped to make every decision in your life, from the time you wake up in the morning and have that first cup of coffee, to major where I'm going to live, who I'm going to hang with, who I'm going to marry, who I'm going to befriend, what church I'm going to go to, what I'm going to do in life. He said that it would be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And why did he say that? Was because peace really is the first, it's the first place where the Holy Spirit shows up in you. Paul scratched his head in Romans 8 and said, I cannot describe this ministry of God. I don't know what, how to describe Him. He's so perfect. Jesus said, I'm going away in John 14, 15, 16, at Last Supper. He said, I'm going away, but I'm sending another one. And He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Now, the word there, comfort, if you look it up, and you don't have to be a scholar, you can just get a concordance. It's the word orpheno, which means orphans, and I will not leave you parentless. But another one just like me is coming. And when he comes, what he's going to do is he's going to lead and guide you into all truth. And my word is truth. He said, many things I have to say to you, but I cannot say them now. In other words, there's a lot more that I'm going to say that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John doesn't have recorded. In other words, all the ins and outs of your life, I can't put in that book. Billions of souls on planet Earth that take up... You couldn't have written a Bible like that, wrote a Bible like that. But he said, everything I want to say to you, I will say to you via the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul said in Romans 8, he said, this one, he comes and he helps your infirmities. He helpeth your infirmities. And one time this word is used in the whole 66 books of the canon of Scripture, from the old to the new. And Paul made it up. He said, okay, he's a comforter. He'll stand together with you. But oh, he takes up an attitude, a residency with you, which is... antagonistic. Can you believe that? It's amazing. Here's this sweet, gentle dove of the Holy Spirit that we know as a sweet person of God. But yet when it comes to you, He's antagonistic against whatever it is that's causing you to fail. Even when you don't know what it is that's causing you to fail. So there was a word, lambano, which... He used and put a prefix on it and put it all together. Soon, together with, anti means he's going to come with an attitude. Soon anti lambano was one word only time ever used, ever penned in Scripture. And Paul made it up. He said, I'm trying to get this description of who he is over to you, but all I can say is that when you let him pray for you in your infirmities, he comes on the inside and stands down on the inside. And whatever's causing you to fail and you just cripples you. It's one thing to know why you failed and hate yourself for it, and he doesn't want you to do that. But it's another thing to pick yourself up off the dust and say, my God, how'd it happen again? Well, here's how Holy Spirit. Soon anti-lambano was him who came with an attitude standing with you against that which is causing you to fail. With, here's the Holy Ghost, with an attitude. I'm not going to let you fail if you'll let me pray for you and through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sabalekliskimandesi. Yes, sir. So when you put those boots on, I got boots on. Those shoes of peace. This is His directive. He comes and He leads you and guides you by a witness of peace. So you know you're spending time, whatever time you're spending with God, in the way that He stops you prior to failure, or the way that it begins to redirect your thought processes, is that He can, because the Word says also in Romans 8 that the Spirit Himself bears witness with ourselves, with us. Now what that's like is the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, the daughters and sons of God, crying, Abba, Father. You don't shut your mind down. I don't think. I mean, you may, but you don't shut your mind down as a Christian and just get real quiet and hear this little voice going, Abba, Abba, Abba. I mean, you may in worship. A lot of times in worship, I'll say, and I'll call Him, I'll use generic terms or intimate terms. I'll say Daddy or Papa or, you know, something that is close to Him, to me, close to me, to Him. But you don't shut down and hear Abba, Abba, Abba. But Paul said the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, crying Abba. What it's saying is that there's a beacon inside there, day or night, good times or hard times, that's emanating. Just, it's really, that doesn't, that's a, it's not even a right way to say it. It's a continual. It's not even a beacon like intermittent. It's continual. And it's telling you, what it's saying to you is this. It doesn't have words with it. It just has a witness. And what a witness is what 1 John said, every man that has Him has the witness within him. He said, if we receive the witness of man, I have the witness of man, by John saying He came by water and He came by Spirit, the new nature, and He came by blood, the lineage by which He came down. I have that witness. But let me tell you a greater witness. There's one standing on the inside of me saying continually, you are His Son. You are His. And how do I know it? I mean, how do I know that? Well, it's like this. Even when you say, I can't feel God, I can't hear God, I don't know where He's at these days. I don't know, maybe I've messed up and He won't talk to me. It's like somebody said, I love it. He said, if you love God, I mean, you're really born again. Have you ever tried to quit? Well, I'm quitting. That's it. I'm quitting. I don't know. I don't care what Pastor Bronk says. I'm going to slap him if he says anything about prayer. I'm just going to quit because I'm just so discouraged. God's not talking to me. You can quit and lay on the couch for a while, or you can quit and go out in the world. But something keeps gnawing. It just keeps gnawing and gnawing and gnawing and gnawing. It's like, oh God, I must be saved, because back when I wasn't saved, I didn't have this gnawing. And you're just like, wish the gnawing would go away, but it won't go away. You can't be happy with sinning anymore. He was like, oh God. But that's the witness, and it's just there. I'm here. I'm here. That's Him saying, Abba, I'm your daddy. But you fortify that. In other words, you cultivate it. You put fertilizer around it by worship and praying in tongues. What it'll do is it'll come up as a real giant of peace. That witness that is just a beacon in hard times will be an emanating giant of peace, which is the shod of your feet with peace, which is where you're going. So whatever decisions you're making and the telltale signs of your life, or if you're starting to go in a wrong direction, something shuts down. He won't take away peace per se from you, but you have this beacon. The more you worship Him, you walk in a place of essence, of continual kind of deep down peace. And then you start in a wrong direction. You say, I think that's God. I think that's God. And then something begins to shut down. That's how He interrupts you. He just pulls that peace back a little bit in that area and says, okay, that velvety feeling that you feel on the inside. Kenneth Hagin said, when you start missing it like that, it's like you're taking a shower with your socks on. You know, you're in the shower, but something ain't right. It ain't right. God's pulling it back. Well, true success, and what He was saying through that prophecy, is going into Him in these last days and really just, punching a hole in the atmosphere and getting real successful in God has everything to do with you practicing presence, because of what that builds inside of you is that continual beacon to where that eventually, now nobody, with both hands up, nobody's arrived. But you'll find on the first leg of your journey versus this last leg, a lot of times you, if you were like me, you got over here, God's doing this, God's doing that. And you get over here and the whole thing falls apart. And then you got to figure out some kind of good kind of, then you sit back and you come up with maybe God meant for it to be like this, and then maybe it was like that, and then, and you wear your brain out with stupid stuff, when in all reality is, here's the simplicity of it. It wasn't God. It just wasn't God. And emotions sometimes will feel like spirit and soul will walk real close together until the roads start doing like this. And guess what? As a Christian, you can override spirit if you want to. You can. You can tell it, shut up, because I'm having too good a time. Oh yeah, but this ain't going to work for you. Shut up. God's in this. I know God's in this. And spirit will get right over there with God, and soul will be over here, and soul will be saying, I know, and then till it falls apart, and then you got to figure out what Dave say about that guy. I love that story. He said, the guy said, God told me, go down to the barber shop and witness to the guy and get him saved. He said, I drove down to the barber shop, and the barber shop was closed and the guy wasn't in there. Oh, but then he said, I stepped out on the sidewalk and there was a guy walking by and I witnessed to him. So I understood that what God really had me go down there for was to witness the guy on the sidewalk. And the guy didn't get saved, but he did witness to somebody. Dave said, man, you die hard, buddy. When is it just enough to say, if I'll walk with peace, I'll get over here? Well, God sent me to that city. He sent me there. I know God sent me there. Okay, if He did, then He knew that you were going to survive. He knew that you were going to survive. You'd make it. You'd win. But here's peace. Here's why it's so important. Because if your life is like tipsy-turvy, always in one kind of miscue after the other, like you've got peace sometimes, and then 5 minutes later you don't, and then sometimes you do, and then sometimes you don't, and today it's okay, and then tomorrow it's not. It'll be so tossed salad-y that there will not be a rhythm by which He can step in and intervene and say, because you're so used to. Now, I'm not talking about life being leave it to beaver kind of everything's going straight. Usually peace is showing up when hell is just, hell's just breathing down your neck. And there's a whole bunch of things. There's a bunch of irons in the fire. You can look over and say, well, you know, that'd be enough for anybody to get depressed over. I'm not going to do that. I could get depressed over that. I could quit over that, and I quit over that, quit over that. And there'd be about 10 things around you. That's when peace usually shows up real, real strong. But if your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and you're walking in that every day and saying, no, I deny that. I'm not going to get involved in that. Yeah, I know I got to, that's my family. I got to handle that, but I'll pass that. Just the response. I will not get disturbed by it, because here's whether you make it or not. How often and how constant you get used to living in a place where peace is the dominant force of the leadership of your life. Because if your life is in and out of depression and in and out of questionings, then when the Holy Spirit wants to step in and say, hey, I know what you're used to, you're hearing my voice and that witness of based on that constant peace, then I can interrupt it and you don't make the wrong decision. But if you're in and out, you're so interrupted any time, even when He is speaking, you really don't know. You really don't know. Thank God for Sunanti Lambano, the one that mad, depressed, sick, emotions going crazy. I want that, but I don't know if it's God's will for my life. Okay, here's what I'll do. Example. I'm telling an example because this is meant for a private. But it's an example. It's okay if I tell you. And right in the middle of it, I'd like to knock their head off. Feelings that might not be appropriate, you know. He don't leave. He just keeps praying. Thoughts, imaginations, wrong motives. He's taking up a cause with you, for you, to stand up antagonistically against whatever it is that's causing you to fail. So at the end of the day, He delivers a constant called the preparation of the gospel of peace, and it shods your feet so that you're not scratching your head in confusion once again saying, my God, how did it happen? How did it happen again? He wants us victorious. Hallelujah! Woo! Would you believe I didn't prepare any of that? That's not to brag on me. That's to say there's a teacher called the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you enjoyed being here tonight? Just in the presence of the Lord. You know, the devil's such a liar, but then what he gets to collaborate with him, if he can, is the flesh. And it's a liar too. Now, your flesh can get in line with the Spirit. And if it does, boy, it's a good thing. But the flesh is a liar too, because what it'll tell you is, if you turn yourself over to God, He's going to take something from you. You're going to miss out on something in life that you could really be enjoying. And it'll lie to you. It'll cheat you out of, because it'll tell you if you turn yourself over to God, He's staunch, He's stiff, He's starchy. It'll describe to you the flesh as a description of God. And then the Spirit does. But if you lose your life, Jesus said, if any man will lose his life, meaning if he'll turn himself over to me, he'll find his life. Meaning in this life, everything that at the end of the day that you thought you wanted and would be satisfied, what would you thought would make you happy, somehow in a sanctified way, he'll get it all over to you. Listen, anything that the world has that people go after, leaving Christ out of it, is only a perversion of the true. And they think that God, they think that the devil created all that stuff so that only the devil's people could enjoy it. God created everything. Everything that anything that satisfies, God's the one that created it. He just had an avenue by which it was all supposed to be followed. And when God's avenues are followed at the end of the day and at the end of life, you stand there fat and full of life and you're so happy because you're so satisfied. But the devil, he'll stand there and tell you, God takes stuff from you. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. What a lie. Liar, liar, pants on fire. The truth is, if you learn, if you can ever turn yourself over to God and say, I can trust you, can't I? Right? I mean, you'll make me happy if I mean, the fruit of joy is happiness. I'll be fulfilled. I promise you. I promise you, if you lose your life, you'll find it. But the scary part, the twilight zone, the part that you have to step into is that part that says, it don't make sense. If I deny myself and choose Him, it feels like I'm taking something away from me. And He says, no, go ahead and do it. Because watch, if you lose your life, you'll find it. I'll come behind what you laid down and give you the right way. And it'll fulfill everything inside of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Basket lady. She probably wondered, oh, that's a great title, basket lady. She's not a basket case. It's because she prays in tongues. She's just a basket lady. That's it. That's right. You got, Gary got it. You got a promotion from bucket lady. You are being promoted. We're getting closer and closer and closer. Hallelujah. And something feels like it's gaining momentum, mainly in the area of peace. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So I appreciate all of you that have just been helping out every possible way you can. Hallelujah. So your giving's just like worship. Comes right out of that place. Your love. Hallelujah. So right now, Father, we thank You that Immokalee is in revival and that the blind see and that the lame walk and that the deaf hear and that You convince us. You convince us. Lord, You could just be a God that You could be like this. Follow Me, and I'll give You no explanation. You could have just said, lose your life. But You promised that if we'd lose our life, You said we'd find it. My God, You cross the void and come on my side. You come on my side and bargained with my flesh. So if I'd lay down my life, I could find it. What a deal. What a deal. I love You, Father. I give my life to You, and I thank You for all these who give their lives to You. Bless now this time of giving. In the precious name of Jesus, we thank You for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I think that wraps it up. And when you give, why don't you greet one another? And tell somebody, you know, you're beautiful. And if you have to say it by faith, then look off and say, you're beautiful. Think about God. You're beautiful. All right. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Okay. I love you. Candy loves you. You're blessed. This is blessed. Greet one another. Hallelujah. Amen. You can bring it down.